1 Corinthians 12, verse number 1. Now concerning, King James here, concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant, or the Amplified says misinformed. Usually if the Bible says he doesn't want us ignorant, it's because most of the people, most of the body of Christ are ignorant. Now you're in a good church, you're taught. But let's see if we can learn something tonight. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Gifts is italicized. Spiritual is the what it says the, concerning spiritual. And literally in the Greek, it's spirituals, plural. I don't want you to be ignorant about spirituals. Well, that's strange. That's a strange word. What's he talking about? If you read the rest of the chapter, the margin says, not my margin, but the little note down below. It says that spirituals are things that pertain to the Holy Spirit, things of the Spirit. And then he goes through this chapter and he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the ministry offices, which are anointed of the Spirit, and how the Spirit puts us in the body as it pleases Him. Amen, pleases Him. And these are all things that pertain to the Holy Spirit. And then he goes to the 14th chapter, talks about the utterance gifts and so forth. So he doesn't want us to be ignorant about these things. And so I want to talk about some things pertaining to the Spirit tonight. Amen. This is an era of the Word and the Spirit.
Yes.
And somebody said, well, is it not the faith era anymore? Faith is timeless.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Faith is for, it's forever. Faith is not just something that is an era or a revival.
Right.
It's the way we live.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call the last, whatever, 40 years, I don't know exactly how many years, but however many, that emphasis of teaching on faith, I wouldn't call it the faith movement.
No.
I would call it a teaching revival.
Right. Right. That's good.
Yeah.
And the message of faith was being taught.
Yes.
But see, faith is to be lived. It's for all time. Faith was for Abraham. Faith was for, I mean, you go back to Hebrews 11. It was for, Moses and Abraham and all the Old Testament saints. And it'll be forever in the New Testament. Hallelujah. So but we need to understand that faith, we've got faith in a box and in a little narrow place. And one of the things the Spirit of God has dealt with me to minister on is the fact that in the teaching revival, some folks develop faith in the Word. Thank God. Are you happy about the Word of God? Putting faith in the Word. I mean, that's just foundational. But many times they didn't really catch some of the men of the Spirit who spearheaded that time. They didn't really catch the faith that they had to move with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
To step out on promptings of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm not accusing everybody. A lot of people caught that. But more people, I would say many more people, caught the message of faith in the Word than they did the faith to follow the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Now he said here, things pertaining to the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. Things that pertain to the Spirit is however the Spirit moves, different ways that He moves, and how we can move with Him. That's why we need not be ignorant, because Him moving is not enough. We must move with Him.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And we must respond to Him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. And to be honest with you, there's even more to it than just waiting for the Spirit to move. The Spirit is always moving. Amen. Now, He moves in different ways. You know, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's the gifts of the Spirit. But there's also the Spirit of God who lives in us as believers. Any born-again believer, He lives in them. They might not speak with tongues, they might not, but He's in them.
That's right.
And you know what He's doing in there? He's on the job. He's moving. You know what He's doing? He's teaching them.
Right.
He's guiding them.
Yes,
now, they might not be following, but I'm saying He's in there.
He's in
there on the job.
That's right.
Amen. He didn't put out an unemployment shingle on us. No, he's on the job. If the Bible says, the 1 John 2:27, if the anointing you received of Him abides in you and He teaches you all things, You don't need to pray that he does that. He's in there doing that.
Amen.
While you're praying, he's in there trying to rise up and teach you.
Exactly.
Amen. 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 He's on the job. He's moving. The Spirit is always moving. Our job is to tap into that. Amen. Now, let me say it a little different way. In fact, to get to the, what I'm going to share, go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and notice verses 5 through 6, if you've brought your Bible. Turn to these verses. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 5 through 6. And I want you to notice Paul's writings to Timothy. And verses 5 through 6, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, unpretended faith, literally is what that means, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. In other words, when I call to remembrance your faith, the fact that you have faith, the real deal, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. In other words, because of your faith. Wherefore is reference back to his faith. Wherefore, because of your faith, I put you in remembrance that you pray God would stir up the gift of God in you. Did I say that right? Notice he said, I put you in remembrance that you pray that God stir up the gift of God. Is that what he said? No. He said that thou means you, stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of all of us, but he's not stirred in all of us. Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, but he doesn't live very big on the inside of many people because they don't stir him up. This is something that he does not want us to be ignorant about. That's what that verse said. Don't be ignorant about the things that pertain to the Holy Ghost. Well, so one of the things that Christians fail to see is sometimes they say, well, I just don't have a leading. Well, then we should tear out Romans 8, 14 and 16. Huh? Well, what's Romans 8? Well, what's Romans 8, 14, 16 says? Many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. He's in there leading them. Then he says, his Spirit, verse 16, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Is he doing that, or should we pray that he do that? No, he's doing that. He's in there. He's on the job. He's not collecting unemployment. He's on the job. Hallelujah. He's bearing witness with our spirits. Well, somebody said, I just don't have a leading. Well, you might be not tuned into it, but he's in there.
Right. Yes.
And as soon as you get your mind quiet, bloop, there it is.
Yes. Amen.
There it is.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Or as soon as you begin to stir, it comes up.
Right.
Hallelujah. How do you stir? Well, Philemon 1:6 says that the communication, the translators butchered this in the King James. I've done a thorough study of it, and actually going back many, many times to confirm that I'm looking at it right. And I'll just tell you how the Greek actually says it. Let me quote the King James first. He said, the communication of thy faith, now I'm trying to remember how it says, the communication of thy faith may become something. I got my mind renewed to the way the Greek actually says, and I can't even quote the King James. But let me tell you what the Greek actually says. The faith we share in common becomes active by acknowledging all the good things that are in us in Christ. That's what the Greek says. Communication is a terrible translation. The word communication literally means sharing in common, literally. So the faith we share in common becomes active. Philemon 1:6. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're looking at me like maybe you don't know the verse.
Yes, sir.
Becomes active by the acknowledging of every good thing. So whenever you begin to acknowledge all that you are in Christ, all that is in you in Christ, how many of you know, he said, the knowledge of every good thing that's in you, the inner witness is in you.
That's right.
The greater one's in you. The Spirit of truth is in you. The one who guides you and teaches you and comforts you and counsels you and strengthens you. And He's in there. And as you start acknowledging Him, He gets stirred up. That's why Paul said, because of the faith that's in you, I'm encouraging you to stir up the... So use your faith to stir up who lives on the inside of you. Don't wait for Him. Don't wait for church service. Don't wait for the singers up here. Or don't wait until you get home and you put in a CD. I've been so heavy and so depressed. You know, somebody needs to sing. Somebody needs to... That can help your faith, but do you know what? I mean, that can be a help to you, but do you know what? If you depend on that, you're actually going to stifle your faith. You and I are to practice what David practiced when he said he encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't wait for somebody else to encourage him. He didn't even wait for God to encourage him. He just started encouraging himself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know how he did it. He might have said, I remember the lion and the bear. I remember Goliath. I remember, and he started stirring himself up.
Amen.
Putting himself in remembrance of things that God had said, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Greater is He that's in you. We are always triumphant in Christ, and on and on. You start acknowledging that, and something starts to stir. Something starts to stir. Brother Hagin told a story. I love this story. I think of it many, many days of the year. Brother Hagin said he had a meeting. He was doing a meeting back early days of his traveling ministry. And the church that he was preaching at wasn't that far away. So they were actually driving home to their own house and own bed every night. It was maybe, I don't know how long, but they would get home late at night, 1 o'clock in the morning or something later, get to bed. And so because of that, and because there was no morning meetings and so forth, they were just doing night meetings, they would sleep in the morning. So he's sleeping in. And about 8 o'clock in the morning, they heard somebody knocking at the door. Brother Hagin's still asleep because it woke him up. And so he's in his pajamas, and he's going out there still waking up and see who it was. It was a lady that in the church he used to pastor and her daughter. So he opened the door, and they said, we just wanted to come in and pray. We wanted you to pray for us, especially the daughter. The elder lady was bringing her daughter. Pray for us because, we're just out of fellowship with God.
Yeah. Come on.
So he said, all right, come on in. And, he's waking up still. And so he said, have a seat in the living room. What is it? God's good. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. Yeah, praise God. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. She said, well, I don't know anything I did. Now, this daughter had been out of fellowship with God, and then she got back in fellowship with God and, acknowledged that she was wrong, came back into fellowship with God, was in church and everything. And he said, what was it that you wanted to confess? We'll just get down here and we'll pray. She said, well, I don't know anything I did. He said, well, what do you mean you don't know what you did? How many of you know if you've done wrong, you know what you did? She said, well, it's not that I know that I did anything. It's just that, I got back in fellowship with God. Yeah. And Brother Hagin said, well, what happens? You said you're not in fellowship now. Well, I don't know of anything I did. But back there, before I was, got out into sin and so forth, before I just felt like God was closer to me. And and Brother Hagin said, so you don't know of anything? You're just going by feelings? She said, yeah, I just don't feel like I'm saved. Just don't feel like I used to.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. And Brother Hagin got perturbed.
Yeah.
He said, I was having a good sleep.
Yeah.
And you woke me up just because you don't feel saved.
Yeah, come on.
Brother Hagin said, half the time I go to the pulpit, I don't feel saved.
Right.
She said, you mean preachers feel that way sometimes too? He said, sure, sure. She said, well, what do you do? He said, I'm going to close my eyes. He said, you sit and you keep your eyes open and you watch me. Because, you know, he's still half asleep.
Right.
So he closed his eyes and he started drawing up out of his spirit. Thank God I'm born again. Thank God I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. Thank God I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And he just started out kind of sleepy and tired. And while he's doing that, the Holy Ghost bubbly started bubbling up. Amen. Hallelujah. And she said, and Brother Hagin just started drawing up, and he started dipping into that well of salvation and drawing it up, and all of a sudden it just poured out, and he got happy, and she said, your whole face changed. Your whole countenance changed. He said, sure. He said, that was in there the whole time. She said, can I do that? He said, yes, you can. In fact, you should have done it without coming here. Amen. Amen. Your faith becomes active by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ.
Amen.
And so she did it. She started doing it and just got to overflowing with the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden she felt saved. But see, she was saved. How many of you know we don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith? But faith will give you the feelings. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but that story just blesses me. Because I get there sometimes. You know, you get busy, you get to working, doing stuff, and you just like feel like a wet dish rag hanging over the edge of the tub or the sink or something. And you go back in your prayer room, thank you, Jesus, for the greater one who lives on the inside of me. And you start drawing it up. Man, before you know it, you're ready for another eight-hour day. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You're stirring up. Stirring it up because of the faith you have in you. Use your faith to stir. Amen. Not stir up strife. No, stir up the greater one who lives on the inside of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't wait on other people like David. Don't depend on people, because thank God for people. Thank God for the worship team. Thank God for good CDs. Thank God for good music. Thank God for all that. But don't just depend on that. Don't just depend on it. Use your faith to stir yourself up. Amen. That can actually hinder you if you're not using your own faith to do it yourself. Amen. All right. Anyone, if you depend on that coming to church to get that, then you're actually somebody that, you know, you're just, to be honest with you, you're depending on the momentum of other people's faith. Amen. Anyone can get into the momentum of something that's already moving. It takes faith to be the momentum. Did you get that? Anybody can get in on the momentum of somebody else's faith. But it takes faith to be the momentum. I want to be the momentum that other people can jump into. Maybe they don't know how to exercise their faith in this. Remember I said people learn faith in the Word? This is actually faith in the Word too, really. But it's faith in an area we don't talk much about.
Right.
It's faith to get into the flow of the Spirit.
Amen.
It's faith to yield to the flow that's already flowing.
Yes.
Glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Many people don't develop faith to flow with the Holy Ghost. They some develop faith in the Word. But I want to develop faith to flow with the Holy Spirit. Now, Ephesians 5:18, it says there, in talking about believer, the plan of God for New Testament believers, Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. And the Greek says continually, be being filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, how do you do that? Speaking to yourselves. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. Now, I want you to notice that's all done with the mouth. Amen. Well, Pastor, I was filled back in, 1939. None of you are that old, but I'm just kidding. I was filled way back there when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't, Why would I need to be filled again? Well, I got a great revelation for you tonight.
Come on.
You want to hear my great revelation?
Yes, sir.
Christians leak.
Right. Come on, sir.
Yep.
Good word.
Amen. Christians leak.
Yeah, amen.
Come on. Let me tell you where the biggest leak is. Right here.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Christians leak. Amen. Well, I was already filled with the Holy Ghost. Christians leak. Psalm 77 verse 3 gives you a lot of revelation about how these things happen. The psalmist said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Notice his words affected his spirit in a wrong way. Well, Ephesians 5:18 says your words can actually affect your spirit in the right way and help you get filled with the Spirit.
Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah. Your words. Your words. Say, tell your neighbor your words. Amen. So turn that around. My complaint and my spirit was overwhelmed. This mouth affected the spirit. But turn that around and use it to be filled with the Spirit. I mean, you keep talking about and you complain and talk strife and grumbling and talk about the problem and magnify the devil and talking about everything he's doing. It's going to empty you out. It's going to empty you out. You're going to get overwhelmed. You're going to be just always anxious and, you know, living in a realm that God, you don't hear God. You don't recognize His leadings. You're not refreshed. In fact, you know, you and I should be the kind of people, we should strive to be the kind of people that people desire and look forward to being around because we're refreshing. You know, everybody knows, they got relatives, everybody knows there's some relatives and some family and some people that you're always glad when their flight arrives. And there's others, you're just glad when their flight leaves. See, you don't want to laugh because you know who they are in your life. Isn't that right? Some people are refreshing. Some people are a drain. Amen. You get around them, and before you know it, they're trying to drain you out. You know what I'm talking about. But see, that you know, other people, you can't control them, but you can control your own thoughts. You can control your own words and what your mind is on, what you're talking about, and therefore control how filled you are, how full you live. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so Ephesians 5:18, he said, be not drunk, and 19, be not drunk with wine, but be being continually filled with the Spirit, speaking. Now, these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are given by the Spirit of prophecy. Amen. Now, I want you to notice here, we get in the flow of this being filled by speaking these divinely inspired utterances. We get in the river of this. Well, let me back up and say this first of all. Notice he didn't say anything here about how as the Spirit wills.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you notice that? You read all through there, and he didn't say anything about the, as the Spirit wills. Mm-hmm. You go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, yeah. Actually 12 and 14. You'll see he says, excuse me, he says these things are as the Spirit wills, and even the gift of prophecy is listed as the Spirit wills.
Yeah.
You say, well, is it as the Spirit wills, or is it, no, notice, be not drunk with wine, but be filled.
Yeah.
The understood subject is you and me.
Right, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's not saying there, wait for the Spirit to will.
Right.
Amen.
Well, why does it say that over in the 12th chapter or the 14th chapter? All these nine manifestations are listed. Prophecy is one of them.
Yep.
And he said, all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing every man severally as he wills.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why. It's because this is a diversity.
Right.
Yeah.
Bible talks about diversities,
yes, sir,
of these operations.
Yes, sir.
One is in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. One is, well, actually mostly chapter 12, is the diversity of the public operation.
Yeah.
Ephesians is the diversity of your private devotional life for your own edification.
Amen.
And every believer should tap into this flow because he said, you be filled. In other words, you do it.
Yes. Amen.
Yes,
Well, I'm waiting on the Spirit. Well, it's a little like this. Ephesians 5:18, there's the river and the flow of the Spirit going by, and Ephesians 5:18 is the dock that you can pull up and jump in the flow. It's a dock. God put a dock by the river and said, go right up to there and get in the flow. That's what that is. Or let's use it a different, let's use another illustration. Ephesians 5:18 is a doorway. If Ephesians, if the flow of the Spirit or the move of the Spirit is a room, this, Ephesians 5:18, is the doorway into it. It's the doorway into it. When you came into this building, you came through a door, didn't you? What would you think of a guy that wants to get in the building and he's standing by this wall right out here and he's pounding on the wall? I want to go to church. I want to get in church. You say, well, just come on through the door.
Amen.
Well, people are saying, no, we want the flow of the Spirit. We want to. Well, why don't you come through the door? Come through the door. This is the doorway into all the spirit realm. Speaking in divinely inspired utterances, including tongues, but not just tongues. This is divinely inspired utterances in a known tongue, English or Spanish, whatever your main tongue is. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so our job is not to try to get the Spirit to flow, but to jump in the flow that's already flowing. And this is the way you jump. Here's the dock you dive off of. Praise the Lord. And so this is the flow of the Spirit that God is inviting us to come out into. He's saying, you don't have to wait in your private devotional life for your personal edification. You don't have to wait for the Spirit to move. He said, you do this. You do this. I did it this morning. Amen. Got up, fed on the Word a while, ate some breakfast, got in the shower, and had a wonderful song in the Spirit. I got so blessed, I got tipsy.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
You know what tipsy means? Woo, it means you just somebody goes hallelujah and you'll go, hey! Hallelujah. It beats the way I used to live. Amen. So he's telling us that this is something that we don't have to wait on the Spirit to initiate. Listen to that word, initiate. People are waiting for the Spirit to initiate this, but this is something you and I initiate by faith. That's why Paul said to Timothy, because of your faith, you stir. You stir. Oh, I love this. Hallelujah. You can drink this. See, okay, think of another verse. John chapter 7, verse 37. Ho, everyone that, this is Jesus, ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Spirit. So he's saying, come and drink. He didn't say, wait till the Spirit wills, then you can drink. No, he just said, come. He's basically saying, by faith, drink all you want.
All you want.
Glory to God.
Just drink all you want.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that good? I said, isn't that good? So he's saying, you can initiate this. Amen. Now, when we say initiate, we're talking about step out in faith to edify yourself, build yourself up by speaking in these divinely inspired utterances. And that takes faith to do that. You have to use your faith to unhook from your mind, unhook from your feelings, and start talking out of your spirit. What you know, what the Word, your pastor's been planting the Word in you. Start saying what the Word says. And as you start saying it, sometimes then it'll come up a song. And you'll get a song of the Spirit. And so you just draw on that up. And the more you yield to that, the fuller you get. The fuller you get. And the more edified you get. And just 30 minutes before that, you were so mad at so-and-so and Uncle George and John. And he's not doing right. And the boss isn't doing right. And you're all heavy about the bills and everything. You can do this. And you're like, whoa, glory be to God.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Some Christians live so empty, and their chin is so low that you're just a little pebble on the road. Forget the mountains and the big ones. I mean, they just. Get filled. You'll sail right through those things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just waiting on the Holy Ghost. No, he said, here, you do this. You initiate this. Amen. You be a drinker. That doesn't mean you're always, you know, at the job, you know, falling over laughing. It just sometimes means you just remind yourself what God says, and you just say, in your heart, just say, thank you, Lord. You can't, maybe there's people around you shouldn't be saying it out loud, but you just build yourself up, turn your attention to the Lord, and before you know it, that edification starts flowing up. That's how you drink. Now, I encourage you not to be a social drinker. I encourage you not to be a sipper. I encourage you to just be a drunk. Amen. It's good for what ails you. God's good. See, what the world has is a cheap substitute for what God has had for us. The world has a hard week and they say, call a friend, I'm going to the bar. I've had a hard week. I got to drink my problems away. That's a cheap substitute for what God's given us. You can have a hard day and just stay full. Just stay full. Hallelujah. Jesus came out of the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost. He went in full and he came out full. But he had 40 days of testing and he stayed full. That's God's plan for us. Hallelujah. You can stay so full you don't even recognize the big bumps on the road. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is faith to move with the Spirit. This is faith to yield to the Spirit. Amen. You get into the flow of the Spirit by yielding. I remember somebody asked Smith Wigglesworth, I heard the story, I wasn't there. But so I remember reading, somebody asked Smith Wigglesworth, how did you get such a flow of God's power in your life? And here's what he said. He said, I just kept yielding and yielding and yielding. Hallelujah. See, he didn't say, I kept asking God to give me that flow and asking God. He didn't say he kept asking. He said, the flow's already there. I just kept jumping in it. Just kept jumping in it. Amen. Hallelujah. And somebody said, well, he was a minister. Well, he's implying here that he didn't have what he had because he was a minister. He had because he kept yielding. Amen. We're talking about using our faith. That's what he's talking about. Faith doesn't make the Spirit flow. It allows Him to flow. It's just getting in the flow. Amen. So these here in Ephesians 5:18, these are instructions, divinely inspired instructions for us to get into the flow. And these are divinely inspired utterances in a known tongue by the Spirit of prophecy. And He didn't say it has to be as the Spirit wills. We just jump into this. Amen. It's for our own private devotional life. Hallelujah. But it does require faith. See, what do we mean it requires faith? He'll give you the utterance, but then you have to speak it out. You understand that? See, the utterance is that's as far as the Spirit will go. Amen? So once the utterance comes, you have to use your faith to speak it out. Well, all I have is one word. That's all I had this morning. Well, actually, a couple of words, and I just started singing that out. Right. See, I've practiced this where if I met in private over the years, all these years, I've practiced in private where if I mess up, nobody cares.
Exactly.
Because the only person that heard me was my shower head. Or my steering wheel. My steering wheel has gotten blessed so many times, I'm telling you what. My steering wheel, my shower head. Hallelujah. But see, I just practiced drawing up. And now I can do it in public within a flow because I've developed proficiency. Did you hear that? Sometimes people say, well, so-and-so has a strong anointing in that area. You need to recalibrate your thinking. It's not necessarily a stronger anointing. It is a more proficiency. They have developed faith to yield to that flow. See, this is not just for ministers. He didn't say if you're a minister, be continually filled.
Amen.
Are we getting anything out of this tonight? But proficiency comes by practice. And really you develop faith by practicing the word. Or this is the word. I'm talking about practicing the word in the area, speaking in psalms, hymns, and spirit songs, drawing out of your spirit. This is a exercise of faith. And you develop proficiency, you develop in faith by practicing it. We need to sit in services and hear about it like we're doing tonight, like your pastors do, I'm sure, many, many times. But yet, right, that's not enough. You can come to church with a boatload of faith to speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and still not be doing it.
Right.
And your faith isn't really that developed.
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very good.
You understand? We get good at things by practice.
Yes.
I mean, we need to stop being, we need to stop the proficiency flow in the area of our mental and our minds and our flesh. Jesus said, John 7:37, out of your belly will flow. You know, most Christians don't even recognize they are a spirit being. I'm not talking about you, but most Christians don't recognize they are a spirit being or that they're supposed to be getting anything out of their spirit.
Right.
Many Christians go through their entire life, and the only place they ever get anything is out of their mind and their flesh, their feelings and their thoughts.
That's right.
God's telling us here there's a flow. Something's supposed to be coming up out of our spirits.
Amen.
Actually is, but I mean they're supposed to be getting, the way I meant to say, they're supposed to be getting something out of their spirits. And they're supposed to have a knowing about things. They're supposed to be getting answers from God out of their spirit. And it's a faith thing.
Sure.
We've got to hear the word about it. But we've got to learn to pull these things up. Remember the Bible said in Psalm 20, verse 5, I believe it is. I might be wrong about the reference. Counsel's in the heart of a man like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out.
Yeah.
Draw it out. There's everything you need is living right on the inside of you.
Amen.
All the edification you need, all the answers you need, all the direction you need, all the encouragement you need.
That's right.
It's all living right on 18 inches below your nose.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Come on.
But it's the longest 18 inches in the world, you know.
Come on.
Yeah.
Christians, it's the longest journey, the longest 18 inches in the world to get them unhooked from here, get them hooked in down here. You know, it would eliminate about 99.9% of all counseling.
You're right.
If Christians practice this.
That's
oh, Pastor, you've got to stop preaching and gone to meddling. Well, man, thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Out of your belly will flow.
Yes.
Stir it up. Draw it up. Start calling. Start speaking out of your spirit just start out by speaking the word that's been planted on the inside of you. And as you do that, the Spirit of God will start giving you utterance and you'll get so edified, you'll come to church higher than a kite. Amen. Rather than it taking three songs to get everybody ready. I mean, I think the worship team sometimes, if you saw them in the spirit, they're sort of doing like something like this. Trying to get the church edified. Pump some anointing in here. Pump some anointing. But Christians ought to be coming full already.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Amen.
A lot of churches are BYOA churches. Bring your own anointing.
Yes, yes.
I preached in many of them.
That's good.
Don't depend on the congregation for any anointing. Just bring your own, because thank God we've got our own. That's not here. Tell your neighbor, that's not this church at all. No, Pastor Jan drove that out a long time ago. Hallelujah. Now, so we can do this. Praise the Lord. Now, concerning this in Ephesians 5:18, this is God's will. If you read the verses before there, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 17. This is the will of God for believers. Brother Hagin wrote that book, or the vision came, and then he put it in print, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. And that was a landmark for the church before he went to heaven. But Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, somebody asked him that vision, what was the main thing that Jesus emphasized? And he said it's Ephesians 5 and Colossians, 3? So I believe where he said, he quotes also in Colossians what he says here in Ephesians, be continually filled, speaking.
Right.
He said Jesus emphasized in the vision that the plan of God for the New Testament believer is that they be continually filled, speaking in these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I don't share this often, but a few years after, Brother Hagin went to heaven in 2000, uh, 3. And I would say, I'd have to look at the date. I've got it. I might have it up here somewhere even, but I have it in notes. Brother Hagin went to heaven and maybe within a year or two. I had a dream one night. And in the dream, I went to a church. I was invited guest to preach at a church. And time came for service. I went to the church and got there, went into the auditorium. And, you know, whatever time was about to start, I walked in. And the people were just milling around and socializing and so forth. I thought, well, they'll start the music here anytime. So I sat down. And and they milled around and socialized for a long time. Kept on socializing and entertaining one another. Off to the side, there was a drinks bar, and you could get alcohol. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, what is happening here? I thought this was a church service. And I'm just waiting for the service to start. This is in my dream. I'm trying to decide what's happening, and I almost felt out of place. Of course, nobody's spiritual. And I'm just waiting. And while I'm waiting, Brother Hagin and Miss Aretha walked in. They walked down the aisle, and they sit down. It'd be like I'm sitting over here, and they're sitting over here. And they're sort of looking around like, what's this? You know, I thought this was a church service. This is in the dream. And so I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking, well, if it's not going to start here, I want to talk to them. That's in my dream. I'm thinking, I want to go, but I don't want to, you know, if somebody's going to start, I don't want to do it. But I kept thinking, I need to talk to Brother Hagin. In my mind, I'm thinking, he's been in heaven for a couple of years. I want to know what he has to say now, you know. And so I don't share this much because people criticize these kinds of things. But I said, I'm just going for it. So I got up and I came over and I started talking to Brother Hagin and started the conversation by, good to see you, Brother Hagin, you know, and so forth. Just started. I don't remember how I got him started talking about the Word, but somehow or another I got him started talking about the Word. And he said, he started right in where he left off there in that vision of plans, purposes, and pursuits. He said, according to Colossians chapter number 3 or whatever that is, he said, the plan of God for the New Testament believer is they be continually filled with the Holy Ghost. And he started going like that, just going down. And he went right down the line, just like he did before he went to heaven. He's preaching on that a whole lot. And then the vision disappeared. I mean, the dream. I woke up. I call it a night vision. And I'm just laying there in bed going, God, you're talking to me.
That's good.
And I said, Lord, I know you're saying something to me. What is it? And he said to me, and I wrote it all down. He said, the church that you were in was not a church, but the body of Christ in your time. He said, they're not emphasizing the things of the Spirit, the things of the Word, and they're not sticking with what Brother Hagin brought as a prophet of God. Amen.
Yes.
And he said, I'm inviting you. The fact that you were invited, he said, to that church, he said, I'm inviting you back out into the body of Christ. See, I'm pastoring.
Yeah.
I'm inviting you back out into the body of Christ. And I want you, and he said, I was giving you instructions as your spiritual father, Brother Hagin, giving you instructions on what you're to emphasize.
Amen.
The things of the Spirit. Using your faith to flow with the Spirit. Using your faith in the Word, number one. The Word is always first. You understand? The Word is always first. But using our faith to get into these flows of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God. So, that's why I'm ministering on these things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every believer has the right to manifest the simple gift of prophecy in their own private prayer life for their own edification. Now, that doesn't mean we come to church and prophesy to one another. That's a different operation. But every believer in their own private prayer life has the right to use their faith and manifest this spiritual gift for their own private, personal, spiritual edification. Amen?
Amen.
We can start out in tongues edifying ourselves, and then as the Spirit, as we draw up out what's in our spirit, speaking the Word, start out speaking the Word, then speaking in tongues, and then things will come out in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And it'll take you to another level. It requires another level of faith. Because your mind is involved now. Because you're speaking in a known tongue. Speaking in tongues can bypass your mind, and your mind doesn't know what you're saying, so it doesn't take as much faith. But this takes more faith, because you've got to bring it through your mind.
Amen.
And your mind will fight you on it. But you can, but see, if it's another level of faith, it'll be another level of edification. See, this is a stair step. Amen. It's like speaking the word, speaking in tongues, speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then that's the door into a whole revelation gifts, power gifts, flows of joy. Amen. Hallelujah. If we'll practice this flow of the Spirit and develop faith to flow in these ways, of these supernatural ways, then we will have a greater move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
See, it takes development of faith.
Yeah.
Now, this is the way the Spirit gets His way in our lives. If you read through the Bible, you'll see the Bible teaching us to yield to the Spirit or respond to the Spirit. You give me a few more minutes here?
Yes.
It says in Jesus in John chapter number 2. You remember there whenever Jesus turned the water into wine? John chapter 2, 5, verse 5. Mary said to them, whatever He says for you to do, do it. Do it. That's the same Greek word, do it, translated do it there. Same Greek word translated yield in other places in the New Testament. So yield doesn't mean sit passively by and wait for the Spirit to do something.
Right.
It means you do something.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Do it. Yield is translated do it.
Amen.
Well, if I ever dance, it'll be the Lord. No, it won't. It'll be you.
Yeah.
See, that's where Christians are messed up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're waiting on the Lord to do something. Let's just take whenever the initial outpouring of the Spirit came, Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled and, you could add, they began to speak. Somebody said it was the Holy Spirit. No, it was them. It was the Spirit that gave them the utterance, but they did the speaking.
Yes, sir.
They had to do it. They had to do it.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Ghost will give the utterance for these things, but that's as far as He goes. And the reason we don't have more manifestation, the reason Christians aren't more edified, the reason Christians don't have more answers is they've not began to yield to that. They've not began to do what's coming up out of their spirits. Amen. Holy men of God. This is how the Scriptures came. Holy men of God spake as they were moved. The Holy Ghost moved on them, but they had to do the speaking. And that's the way all these things work. It's called yielding. It's called responding to the Holy Ghost. Now, why do we have to yield? Here's the reason. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't coerce. Demons force people or try to force people. But the Holy Spirit will only prompt. He will only urge. He will only inspire. But He won't make you do anything. He won't override your free will. Am I preaching all right? But don't mistake that lack of coercion for a lack of movement. I said, don't mistake that lack of coercion for a lack of movement. And don't tell yourself that responding is therefore not important because I'm not being made to do anything. It is very important. Responding is very important. Many things are connected to you responding. You ever seen a magician, or however you say that, pull a hanky out, and then there's another hanky connected to it, another hanky? That's the way these things are. Whenever you begin to speak about these divinely inspired utterances, you start pulling on that hanky, and there's something else attached to that. I have had that happen almost 100% of the time. You pull, and there's all of a sudden, oh, there, I got my answer. I just got my answer. Everything you need is attached to that. You just start pulling on that, and it'll all start coming. And you'll call Pastor. Pastor, just cancel that appointment I needed to get my answer from you. I don't need it from you. I got it from. I started pulling on the hanky. Woo! Glory to God. It'll do something for your faith. It'll do something for your faith to develop confidence in the Holy Ghost yourself. Where you trust Him, you know Him, and you know how to draw your answer right out of the Spirit that lives on the inside of you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so everybody say yield. It means action. It's not something we just sit by and passively wait for the Spirit to do. And we're not talking about actions out of our head, but actions out of our heart, responding to our spirits. Hallelujah. In the yielding is the filling. I know we're going a little bit long here, but I'm almost done. Say it out loud. In the yielding is the filling. People say, I'm just so worn out and so drained out and so heavy and depressed. Well, the reason things can get in is because there's not a strong enough flow out. That stuff can't get in if there's a flow of the Spirit coming out of you constantly. Because that flow coming out will push all the depression out, push all the worry out, push all this other stuff out. Amen. Let's look at yield in another way. When you're driving down the highway, you'll see a yield sign from time to time. Isn't that right? And it'll point you where do you want to go. I mean, if you want to get on a highway, there's a yield sign, and you can get into the flow of traffic. You're not creating the flow of traffic. You're just getting into the flow of traffic at the yield sign. Isn't that right? That's an entrance ramp there or something like that. So God has yield signs. Amen. As you're traveling down the road of life, you'll look up and see signs that say something like this. Ephesians 5:18, yield here. You'll be going down the road of life and you have a need and you're in a test and a trial. You look up and Ephesians 5:18, yield here.
Very good.
Amen. Amen. John 7:37, yield here. What does that mean? Here, this verse, every verse has a yield sign by it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Yield here. Yeah. You want to have all the supply you need? Yield here.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
God has yield signs.
Yes.
Isn't that good? God has yield signs.
Amen.
And so you get in the flow. In other words, he's saying you get in the flow of what you need here. That's how you get in the flow of what you need. Now, you might say, well, what's that have to do? Speaking and edifying myself in Psalms, hymns, praising God, thanking Him for the Word, and speaking in these inspired utterances, what does that have to do with my need? Oh, you must have never done this before. Because as soon as you get into that flow, I mean, before you know it, bam, there's your answer. I've had services that I was getting ready for that I'm late, something happened, something came up that I didn't get into my prayer closet as early as I like to and need to, but I had a prompting to do something, and I remember one time I had a prompting to call somebody, and I knew it was going to be a long conversation, but I needed to get ready for a service, I need to call them, like, Lord, I got a service, all right, I'll call them. I wasn't 15 minutes into the call, and my entire sermon went off like a screen in front of me, and I saw the whole sermon I was going to preach.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What I needed, I just had to yield.
Yes, sir.
And I got into what I needed.
Amen.
You'd be surprised how it might not seem like it's connected sometimes whenever you respond to the Spirit, but as soon as you respond to the Spirit, all of a sudden the thing you needed, what you thought was way over here and disconnected, all of a sudden there you are with your answer. Praise the Lord. God is good about things like that. I said He's good about things like that. By every test and trial, there's a yield sign. By every word of God, every verse in the Bible, there's a yield sign. You know, Paul and Silas were in jail. They were in that Philippian jail. They were beaten, you remember? They told them not to preach anymore. Their backs are bleeding. They put their feet in the stocks. It's the midnight hour. I mean, they're bloody, they're sweating, And they put them in there, locked those stocks, took the key out, and walked out. And they're sitting there sweaty and bloody and hurting and all of that. And they probably felt terrible. You know what? They wiped the blood out of their eyes and the sweat out of their eyes and looked up. And there on the wall of the jail was a sign. It said Ephesians 5:18. Yield here. Paul said, oh, yeah, that's right. I wrote that by the Spirit, didn't I? That would apply right here. I don't know how you can sit in your seat like that. So they started yielding, prayed and sang praises. And he didn't do it quiet. They weren't Presbyterian. They just said it right out loud. They started, and the prisoners heard them. And the power of God fell. I said, the power of God fell, shook their problem to the core, busted them out. Praise the Lord. Will that work for you? Will that work for whatever you're going through? Ephesians 5:18, yield here. Yield here. Glory! This is how you get into things. This is how you get out of things. This is how you get money in. This is how you get sickness out. This is how you get worry out and depression out. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. There may be a test and trial, you know, or test and trials all around you, but don't yield to the trial. Amen. Yield to the power that busts the trial. The yoke destroying, yoke defeating, yoke busting power of God. Well, what's that got to do with my trial? Just trust me. Just humor us all and go for it and watch what happens. Watch what happens. Glory to God. Amen. What you yield to determines whether you stay in the trial or the trial is busted. What you yield to. The devil's used to people, he brings tests and trials. He's used to them yielding to worry and fear and frustration and, you know, getting them all worked up into a tizzy. Calling everybody, trying to get them into their anxiety and stuff like that. He's so used to that that whenever he finds somebody who he throws his best at, they don't yield to that. They start yielding to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It just sends confusion through all of hell. It's like, what's this? We're not used to this. They're yielding to that power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what that is. It's the power. So, and alarm bells start going off in hell.
That's right.
He found out. He found out. Oh, 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 oh. Glory to God. Glory to God. And listen, his heyday, when you get to that place, his heyday is over. No more bad days, no more sad days, no more broke, busted, and disgusted days. Your days are days of victory. That doesn't mean you won't have tests or trials. It just means you'll just sail right over top of them. Amen. Well, did you get anything out of the Word tonight? Hallelujah. Let the greater one, you know, live big in you. It's important that you and I learn to do that. Well, you know, Pastor Jay, that's just not my personality. Let me save you some time. I tried that on the Lord once. I tried that. There was a Holy Ghost meeting. The Spirit of God was moving. I tried that on the Lord. He said, is this my spirit? I said, yes. He said, why aren't you getting in? I said that to him. I don't know why I was so dumb to say that. I said, it's just not my personality. I guess I had a irritation about me that night. Just not my personality. He said to me, and boy, when he said it, it was so true. He said, in this tone of voice, yeah, and your personality was basically formed by unbelief.
Ooh.
It's like, ooh.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Truth, Lord.
You know? I'm like, ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
But I knew it. As soon as he said it, I remembered all my growing up years. See, I didn't grow up drinking the Holy Ghost bubbly.
Yeah.
I grew up drinking religious Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know. God's nervous. You don't want to praise out loud or anything like that. Amen.
Amen.
And we were all bound, and half of us were depressed.
Yes, exactly right. Yes,
amen.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about. And so I just went ahead and decided I'm not going to try that on the Lord. And I'm going to tell everybody that thinks about saying it to the Lord, I want to save you the time. He's not going to listen and say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're right. That's not your personality. Because, see, personalities are formed by atmospheres and things like that. Amen. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Anybody's chin been bumping every little pebble on the road? You need to get drunk tonight. Ha, 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 ha. He, 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 he. Ha, 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 ha. 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 What'd your husband say? Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Woo, yeah. Woo. Ha, 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 ha. Woo, glory. Ha, ha, ha. Woo, glory. Woo, glory. Ooh, glory. Ha, 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 ha. Ooh. Ooh, glory. Shh.
Whew. Whew. It's yours.